This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Father, we thank you. We just thank you that you're our God. We thank you that you never leave us, never forsake us, that you love us with an everlasting love that will never fail, that will never give up, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's a love that never fails. We thank you for it, that, Lord, your love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for it. Thank you for the security that we have in your love. And now as we open your word, Lord, I pray that you show us wonderful things. Open our hearts, open our eyes, Lord, so we can see all that you have done for us. And I ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, Pam and the worship team. Yeah, praise God. Isn't he good? Well, as we've been looking at God's love and his mercy, he's an incredibly merciful God. Remember I shared how Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see what you're really like. And God said, okay, I'll show you. And he revealed himself. He proclaimed what he was like. And part of that he was merciful. That was the main part, that he's a merciful God and that his loving kindness towards us is absolutely astounding. It's incredible, the love of God that he has shown towards us. And that's what I want to look at a bit this morning, because out of that, it's out of that that God wants us to be filled with it, secure in it, so that we can minister out of that same love. You know, I said that this should be a house that screams mercy, not at the expense of truth, because the Bible says all the paths of God, all his pathways are mercy and truth, every single one of them. He will not go for truth at the expense of mercy. He will not go for mercy at the expense of truth. And the only way we see that totally fulfilled is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says the penalty for sin is death. It must be paid. That's why Jesus said, for this purpose I have come to the earth. He came to die. That was what he came for. Show the justice of God and the incredible mercy of God, that God has made a way where there was no way, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of the Lord. Now, I want to look at something. If you're looking there, in the book of Jonah, I want to use him because I want to finish with Jonah. It starts off in verse 1 that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now, as God starts speaking to Jonah and telling him what he wants him to do, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And what I would like to challenge each one of us here is that the word of the Lord came to Beryl. Amen. The word of the Lord came to Andrew. The word of the Lord came to Melinda. The word of the Lord came to Bev. The word of the Lord came to George. I was going to say William, but you've been picked on already this morning, so I don't want to pick on you anymore. Thank you for your mercy. But the word of the Lord did come to you, William. There you go, contradicting everything I said. The word of the Lord came to MCF. And you read all through the scripture how God would look for a person, look for a man, look for a woman whom he could speak through and show something of what he is, so that they then could go and tell others what he's really like. The Bible is a record of God's revelation to man of who he is and what he's really like. And it doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't hide anything. You know, you read some stories in here that are incredibly tragic about the depravity of man, and yet all the way through it, you see that God is constant. He doesn't change. Just want to say a couple of things about God's word. In Isaiah 40 and verse 8, it says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens." It stands forever. It's an everlasting word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful. It's alive and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit. It discerns the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is not one creature in all of the world that is hidden from his sight, with whom each one of us has to do with, has to give an account." So the God's word is alive and powerful. Jeremiah 23:29, God says, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" Sometimes we get a bit excited about how powerful the word of God is. It's like a fire, it's like a hammer. He starts to describe all of these things about his word. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, God, when leading his people, declared this to them after he said, "I've led you all this way." But he brings it to this point. He said, "I allowed you to hunger, I allowed you to thirst, that you might know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that is currently proceeding out of the mouth of God." Man doesn't live by bread alone. And that was repeated. Who repeated that? In Luke 4, when Jesus, tempted by the devil, "Do your own thing. If you're the Son of God, do this." And he said to the devil, "It's written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Isaiah 55 and verse 11, God is describing rain that comes down from heaven, and it waters the earth, and it brings forth growth, and it brings forth food from the earth. And then God says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord came to Edward. The word of the Lord came to Trevor. The word of the Lord came to Gordon. The word of the Lord came to Frank. The word of the Lord came to Sandra. The word of the Lord has come to us. And I just want to talk about how amazing this word is. As the Bible says in John 1, that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. One and the same. God and his word are the same. And then it says that Jesus Christ is the word of God. That his life was the light of men. And how I read that is that Jesus Christ shows us who we were meant to be. Because the Bible says that God created man in his image and after his likeness. That's why he calls us his sons and his daughters. But a tragedy occurred, an incredible tragedy occurred, when man, every single one of us, rebelled against God and we were cut off from God. The Bible says that all have sinned and what? We fall short of the glory of God. What's the glory of God? What did Moses say? "Lord, show me your glory. Show me what you're like." And he says, "I'm merciful, full of compassion, long-suffering." And we don't see too much of that around today. We don't see too much of the glory of God, especially if you're just looking at the telly. You know, it's bad news that seems to get out there the quickest, doesn't it? How many of the shows are just zeroing in on somebody who's really done some bad stuff, and we all want to know about it? God said, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. He's doing it. The word of the Lord came, it came to you and it came to me. And it's that word that's alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it discerns the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. It's that word that's come to us. All through the scripture, he spoke to different men. He spoke to Noah, build an ark, Noah. Word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to Moses. Go there and set my people free. Word of the Lord came to David. I want you to reign. I want you to be a king. I've called you for that purpose. The word of the Lord came. Who is it? Samson. I want you to deliver my people. And he responded to that word. What is the word that's come to us? You know what Hebrews 1 says? God, who in times past spoke to our fathers by the prophets, by the law, through the word, through Moses, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son. And he is the exact express image of the invisible God. When he came, we beheld his glory. When Jesus came, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. What? Full of grace and truth. And we've been hearing stories, pathetic stories of people that are broken, people that are lonely, people that are wanting to take their lives because they've got nothing to live for, because they don't know who they are, who God created them to be. They don't know the value that they are. And they don't know that God so loved the world. He so loved the world. Remember, he's full of gracious kindness and compassion. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. And we say that thing so quickly, and sometimes we think, oh, it's a ticket. It's a ticket to get to heaven. It's a ticket to live forever. Oh, it's so much, much more than that. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, except through him. Through Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is express image of the invisible God. Shows what, and that's the word that's come to you and come to me. And I want to bring it down to, what has God called you to do? Tim, I was praying last night, and I just had this word for you and Konya, an incredible bright light in dark places. That's all I got, but an incredible bright light in dark places. And I don't know what that means, whether that witnesses or not, but I just saw you both burning incredibly brightly. And there was something about the unity of both of you shining brightly. And whether it's just to different types of people or whatever, I just saw this incredible brightness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, you know, it says in scripture, a bright light has come. And that's the passion that's on your heart. Con, you have an ability to break into areas. And there's and Tim, you have a desire to go into those areas. And it's not just areas, but it's people. And that's why he's brought you both together. An incredible bright light. And just, you know, I mean, you've shared that, Tim. You've shared that burden and passion on your heart. But I just witness to it, you know, more and more. And Melinda, I was praying for you. And I just had this you speaking incredibly boldly, speaking incredibly clearly. And God has given you a voice. He's given you a voice because, like Hannah of old, who after she went through this incredible struggle of not being able to bear children and was mocked and put down for it, that the Lord miraculously answered her prayer and gave her Samuel, asked of God. And God would say, ask of me and I will give to you. Ask of me because of his. And out of that's going to come a boldness, because Hannah prayed and said, don't speak so arrogantly, people. Don't speak so proudly, because everything comes from God. He pulls kings down from off their thrones and he sets up paupers. And she thought this whole contradiction in God, where he said he'll make the watered place dry like a desert, but he also make the desert like a water hole. And I just see you speaking with a confidence and a boldness because you've asked of God and he's shown you. And I just want to encourage you that you're his daughter. You're his daughter. Literally, you are his daughter. So the word of the Lord has come to us as a church. I want this house to scream mercy. How's that going to happen? It's going to happen through each of you. You know, for what I have, whatever you have received of the Lord, start to minister it. You know, there comes a time. I'll just use this analogy. There's two. As I read the Bible, so much of the Bible has to do with eating and drinking. God sent his word. You know, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, he said, your words were found and I ate them. And they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And he goes on to say, for I am called by your name. We don't realize what an incredible love that the Lord has shown us, that we should be, 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. That can be just a mental concept and you can know it. Yeah, I know that, heard it a billion times, but the penny is never dropped till you get that, till you know that you are the Son of God. You know that you're his child, you're his daughter, and it's got nothing to do with any of the works that you've done. But it's because you are looking to that word, Jesus Christ, who came and paid the price. And it's, you know, it's often in our worst times that we receive it. Because most of the time we're, oh, I'm not such a bad fellow. I'm pretty, I'll try harder. I'll turn over a new leaf. God said, well, go for it. In the end, you'll find out that the flesh profits nothing. There's not one good. So stop trying to do it yourself and just surrender to what I've done. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. And it's often in our worst time. When I look back, I get changed when I've been flat out trying to do it myself and live up to the word, do my best effort, and then I fall flat on my face. I do something, I thought, how could I have done that? How could I have spoken that word? I knew God said I shouldn't speak nasty words to people, and it just came right out of my mouth, backstabbing somebody, and then the Spirit of God convicts me. Oh, that's true. It's true what this Bible says. In me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. But thanks be to God. And so it's at that point where I say, okay, God, you were right all along. I'm ready to hear what you have to say. No wonder Paul had that incredible revelation. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We've been singing about that. You know, we're not afraid of death because we know whose we are. And there's an incredible needy world right at your back door. We heard it. Right at your back door. You might not have a train running by your back door, but you got people there. And God wants us to get in there. But we've got to know that we're his son, that we're his daughter. And we are that in Christ Jesus. That's how incredible this word. He's put his word in our mouth. And here's another thing about the word. What's it? Deuteronomy 30. I've got it written down. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 14. He says, this word isn't far off. It's not up in the heavens that you've got to try to get to heaven and get this word. In other words, do all your holy stuff, and when you feel good enough, God will let you share this revelation. He says, not in heaven. It's not down in hell. You know, you flog yourself enough with a whip, you know. Do your penance enough that God will finally say, okay, I'll share a revelation. No, he says, it's near you. It's right in your mouth. You know something about, if a word's put in your mouth, and Jeremiah said, your words were found and I ate them. This is why the Bible talks about meditating in his word day and night. He said to Joshua, meditate in my word day and night. Then you will make your way successful. Then I'll give you good success. No enemy will be able to stand before you. You will overcome in every circumstance and situation. I've heard, isn't it like Romans? What shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Shall tribulation? That was a question. Shall persecution? Oh, I've forgotten the list. What other things were there? Famine? No. Lack? No. Demons? No. The world? No. Death? No. Even that can't separate us from the love of God. We're victors, more than conquerors. The battle's already won. We're safe and secure in his house. But here's the deal. This whole issue of meditating is chew on that word. Makes me think of how we feed babies. You know, here comes the, open wide the, here comes the aeroplane. God has trouble trying to get our mouth open. If you want to read that, if you want a proof of that, Psalm 81, God says, open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. So we say, kids, come on, open your mouth because this is good for you. This food is good for you. Well, if that's true in the natural, that a healthy diet, you know, what's that saying? You are what you eat. I was actually studying up on that, and I think it started off in 18th century. Some guy whose name I cannot pronounce, very learned man, made this statement that you are what you eat. He said if I can find out what you eat, I'll know who you are. And another man said a similar thing, you are what you eat. But basically what they were saying is that what you eat will affect your mental health, your mental position, and your physical health as well. So it has a great bearing. Well, if that's true in the physical, how much more in the spiritual? What do we eat? Yeah. All of Scripture is just full of God's word. Ezekiel, you know, he was told to eat the word, eat the scroll. John was told to eat it. We're told to eat it. Jesus is the word. He's the word made flesh, incarnate. It's God made flesh. Can you understand it? Because I can't. I just believe it. I just eat it. Just eat it. So if we're trying to work it out, just eat it. Little baby's trying to work it out. I love it when our youngest granddaughter, Emily, she gets stuck into the roast lamb already. How old is she? 8 months, but I think it was a month ago. She's stuck into this slab of roast lamb, you know, big bone and the meat, and she's doesn't want to let go of it. You know, some kids are like that. Others, you know, they don't want it. They want to stay on the milk. And we can be like that as Christians. God says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Your words were found and I ate them. Because this is God speaking to us about what he's done for us. This scripture is amazing. Paul in Ephesians is trying to get them to open their mouth wide. He's saying, don't you realize that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and you are in him. You are his body. This is food. This is drink. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Isn't that John 6? He's trying to tell them about his flesh and his blood being food indeed and drink indeed. And they're sort of balking at it. Well, it's this word. Paul's talking about this amazing revelation that he's given, that each one of us is a member of the body of Christ. We're part of him. All that he has is ours. Every blessing of God in Christ Jesus is yes and amen. That's what all of Scripture was pointing towards. You know, all religion is man trying to get to God. So we make up all the rules of, you know, what's acceptable to God, what God likes, and all that sort of thing. I mean, that's good. But then we try to fulfill it. And God says, I want you to listen to what I've done for you. God, in these last days, has spoken to us through his Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And eternal life is to know the Father and it's to know the Son, to have a relationship. There's the story of an elephant and an ant. And the ant hitches a ride on the elephant to get across this bridge. And they go across the bridge and the bridge is shaking a bit under the weight of the elephant. And they get across the other side and the ant says, boy, we sure shook that bridge, didn't we? And that's a bit like our relationship with God. You know, through our God we shall do valiantly. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can shake this world. We can show this world what our God is really like. As we eat the Word of God, as we devour this Word and realize that incredible love that's bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God, believe it, eat it. Don't try to work it out. Don't try to understand it. Believe it because it's true. What happened to Nicodemus? Jesus came to him and said, you have to be born again, Nicodemus. And he goes, how can that be? He's trying to work it out. How do I get back in my mother's womb? He said, I'm talking to you about the Spirit of God, what he does. But what did Mary do? Mary, when the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And what's going to be conceived in your womb will be the Son of God. Call his name Jesus and he will save people. And what did Mary say? Be it unto me according to your word. She ate it. She ate it. God has spoken to each and every one of you. Now, I'm going to finish with this because he sent his word for a reason. And each of you have a specific call upon your lives. Jonah had a specific call to go to Nineveh, which was a city who he decided were not deserving of the love and mercy of God. Jonah had decided, and put it in context, they were people that did very cruel things, and he knew as a prophet were going to kill his own fellow Israelites, and he was commanded by God to go there and preach to them that God's judgment was just about to fall. Preach repentance. They got to change the way. And Jonah decided, I'm not going there. You know why he decided that? Because I know God's a merciful God. And if they repent, well, his judgment won't fall. So I'm going the other way. Thank you very much. So he took off. And you know the story. God has ways and means to make you talk. So he gets Jonah back on track, coughed up by a fish on the shore, special taxi to get him there. And he goes through Nineveh. Well, actually, no, the verse I want is, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Has the word of the Lord come to you a second time? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The love of God constrains us, compels us, because we judge this way. If Jesus Christ died for every single person on the world, then all have died, so that every single one of them can be born again. No matter what they've done, how bad they've been, the message, the word of the gospel is amazing news. Whoever believes the transforming work of the word of God, of Jesus Christ, can transform a person totally, completely, so that they become a son and a daughter of God and fulfill God's plan and purpose, which has always been he made man in his own image and after his own likeness. So what I want you to receive from this morning is that the word of the Lord is coming to you a second time. And he say, gird up your loins, get yourself ready, and go out and tell people and show people my amazing love. He even would challenge you to put him to the test. You know, sometimes God will ask you to do things that are going to stretch you beyond measure. That are going to be more than you can afford, more than you have time for. But God says, prove me in this. Trust me in this. See what I will do. Because he is a miracle working God. And Mark 6 finishes in this way. They went out, the disciples, and they preached the word. And God confirmed that word with signs and wonders that followed him. Are you ready to speak the word of the Lord that he's given you? Tell everybody who they really are in Christ so that they have the chance to receive it or not. Can we all stand up, please? We're going to close in prayer.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.